Welcome back to Better Said Than Written, the podcast supplement to Arts of Culture. I am your host, Tamika Cody. And joining me once again is Kim Ramsey. And by now, I hope you guys have Googled her. And one thing I did not mention earlier is that Kim Ramsey is a registered nurse, as well as a rare disorder activist, which you got in the very first appearance. However, today we're going to talk about lack of intimacy in the Black community, and I'm so happy that Kim has agreed to sit down and talk to me a little bit more about this topic. So first of all, we didn't discuss that you're a registered nurse. So how long have you been a registered nurse?
Oh my God, now you're going to ask me to show my age.
No.
Okay,
all right.
So I did my nurse training in St. Mary's, which is a royal hospital in West London. I guess the hospital is now more famous because Prince George was born there,
right.
And it was a favorite hospital of Princess Diana. This year is actually my 20th year of nursing. So 20 years under the belt in two countries. I've specialised in a number of things, from working with elderly people to substance abuse, to working with the federal government, to working with corporate occupation health, college health, and also I've always maintained my hand in the emergency department. So I guess my sense of humour is a little bit, I wouldn't say caustic, but dark.
Okay.
So I'm pretty used to factual and a hardcore reality. I work in an urban emergency room, so, you know, forgive me if
so you've seen some things. A lot of things.
I think my hair color reflects that. I have, ladies and gentlemen, I have white hair, and I am wearing that with some pride. So, you know, these are my stripes.
That's your stripes.
I've earned them. I've earned them. So, yes.
Yes, yes. So let's get right into the topic for this podcast, sexuality within the Black community. We had already discussed some of the questions that I wanted to talk to you about. Why do you think that there is a lack of intimacy within the Black community?
I think, you know, I'm going back, and I hate to harp on the same subject. You know, it's the value that we place on ourselves. Excuse me. The value that Black men place on Black women, which is pretty low, you know, and I feel that the more we try to be something that we're not, the more inferior we become.
Mm-hmm.
So when you embrace and accept yourself for who you are, then I think that makes you more fresh, more kind of capable, more healthier. Excuse me. And also, we don't, as couples, engage in a honest dialogue between each other. There's just so many different relationships that people are willing to engage in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you say to yourself, did the term side chick come from a Black woman or a white woman? I often think that.
Wonder.
You know, and it's a term that's bandied around in the Black community. You know, that's the side chick, and this is that. And we as women, we are objectified, and we are graded. You know, this person is this quality, so this person I will give a couple of days notice to, and I'll call her and I'll treat her and she can meet the family.
Mm.
But this person I will text and I will turn up and I will F and then I will get up and leave.
You could say it.
I'm going to be good
because, okay,
you know,
today. Okay.
I didn't want to turn on the faucet of expletives, but I could if I wanted to.
Okay,
but,
okay.
You know, and what this does is this erodes the woman's self-worth. And then the question is that, you know, I often have conversations with some of my male counterparts and, you know, black male counterparts. And there is this common assumption. A man will only do what a woman will allow him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a bitter pill to swallow. You know, I'm speaking to your audience, and you know, out there, there's somebody who's someone's mistress.
Right.
There's somebody who's getting some sex on the side from an individual. And yeah, the dick might be very good. And yeah, that person's actually taking that. There's somebody who knows that the partner's married and they're still having sex because, guess what? Initially, it started off as a relationship that was just a straightforward, oh, it's going to be sexual.
Yeah.
But your emotions become attached. It's, and now,
especially women's emotions, right?
So we process these things and we, I guess, in some sense, demean ourselves because it's the only thing that we can hold on to.
Right.
That this lacks intimacy because the man's not viewing you as a potential partner. What the thing that we have to remember is that a man can have sex with you and feel absolutely nothing.
How is that? Why is that? That
it is a functional,
I don't get it,
activity and a release.
Mm-hmm.
And that man says, yes, thank you very much, have a great day.
And when women try to do it, it backfires on them.
Yeah, you'll get women that say, oh, no, you know, I can do this and I can do that. No, somewhere along the line, mm-hmm, you're going to find that your emotions become distorted or you become distressed or you have the, you know, we all have that critical voice. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you thinking of? What were you doing?
Right.
What a whore slut, whatever you want to call yourself, yeah, if you do call yourself that. And instead of actually having an adult conversation, I think that what's problematic for me is the level of deceit that we're prepared to become involved in,
mm-hmm,
in order to have someone around us for a couple of hours, for a day, for a long weekend,
right,
or to... The fact that we're not willing to actually give ourselves a valuable, a worthy, healthy relationship with somebody that is worth our time, our effort, and we're willing to invest in those few stolen nights,
right?
Or of sleeping with someone's husband, mm-hmm, or of having this man beside us just for an hour or
right,
so,
and then they have to run home.
And then they have to go home, or of being that person that, you know, you're good enough to see at night, but we don't want to see you in the day.
Mm. So my question to you is, I mean, I guess, can you break down the word intimacy? What is intimacy? Because it sounds like everything that you just described is obviously not intimate, right? So people must be wondering, what is intimacy? Is it really, you know, you're snuggling up to your boo and then waking up in the morning and he or she is still there?
Isn't that variable content for everybody involved? I mean, what's intimate for me could be, you know, going for a walk, just actually spending time with that individual, understanding who they are, you know, knowing who they are. We all have different concepts of what love should be, and some of these concepts are based on how we were all brought up too, you know, like if you see your mother rotating three or four or five different men around your home, you understand that relationships can be actually a little bit malleable. Mm-hmm. if you come from a solid family background where your mother went out to work and your father did work but just didn't bring money to the home, and so your mother's never at home, you become a caretaker,
right,
and that's another form of relationship. Or you see a relationship where both your parents you thought were perfect, but your dad was cheating on your mother or your mother was cheating on your father.
Mm-hmm.
So it's variable content. It's what's comfortable for you, and it's what's open, and it's what's consensual. And
right,
that could be a situation where you are involved in something in the, you know, the sexual health arena is huge. Okay, I've just given you small smatterings,
yes,
of you know, the not so intimate, but for some people that is intimate.
Right.
I'm looking more for an honest dialogue and a dialogue that involves information and informed consent. So if your partner, your man or your woman wants to have a relationship outside of the current relationship that you're having, the primary relationship, which is you and he,
mm-hmm,
or you and she, then you really should be aware of the other people
right,
that this person
true.
Is being intimate with or having sexual relations with,
right,
for the health aspect and for the emotional aspect, so that we can remove all these things where you see people kicking off people's door or beating somebody in the street.
Crazy.
Or, you know, the stuff
yeah.
that the media likes to latch onto.
Right.
If you want a perfect one-on-one relationship as well, that can also occur. But you need to have an honest dialogue. And this is where we're lacking. I think that we as people, we don't speak to each other anymore.
Within the Black community.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like...
Why do you think we're not speaking to one another?
There's, you know, there's fear.
Okay.
And there's
fear of, oh, I'm not going to
certain stereotypes.
Wanna... Okay.
And being judged. So, you know, the classic stereotype for a Black woman, angry Black woman. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with being angry? When you channel it appropriately. What is wrong with that?
Right.
Why is that, you know, my friend did a, she did a... I guess it was a social experiment on her Facebook page, mm-hmm. and I found it to be very fascinating. She said, name one thing about a Black woman. And what came back from the Black male community was negative connotations. Got too much mouth, angry, bitter, blah, blah, blah. All these things that came out. And it was really quite sad.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they weren't saying, you know, these are queens. They represent. They have, you know, some one or two were like, you know, they have a lot of compassion, love, caring. And we do.
Yeah.
We do hold a lot more than the average woman, but we don't actually acknowledge it. And yes, the media perpetuates it. They put us in different roles. Mammy, prostitute.
Side chick.
And aggressive. But they don't look at us as stable.
Nurturing,
caring, compassionate, motherly, elegant, sophisticated. Yes. These are the things that we hold dear. You know, I can't judge anybody for any of the roles that I've talked about, any of the archetypes that I've mentioned, mm-hmm. because at one point or another, I've entertained mm-hmm. one of those roles. Mm-hmm. What I can say to you is that when you live through and experience those roles, you reduce the chance of you actually having a true, intimate, loving relationship with somebody that you could actually build a life with.
Right.
You know, a lot of these relationships are short term, or in the case of someone who's very rich, very powerful, you know, Mr. Mandela,
okay,
you know, yes. whose wives actually were together.
Wives, plural.
You know, he was married at separate times.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Fela Kuti, I believe, actually practiced polygamy.
Mm, okay.
Polygyny is the right term. So, you know, there are places, but if you are practicing polygyny, you need to still be equally yoked. You know, the man... there's certain parts I can't remember the place in Africa, but I know that if the man has more than three or four wives, everybody gets the same.
Oh wow.
And the time, the distribution is the same. The difference is when a man over in America is practicing the process of sleeping with multiple people, there are risks involved
right,
in that.
Obviously.
You know, because mm-hmm. of the level of deceit, the fact that nobody's actually aware of each other. And this is a painful situation. Mm-hmm. And what does it build? It builds distrust.
Right. And it hinders intimacy for that person who wants to move on to someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. It's this domino effect, like, oh my God, he cheated on me. Like, so what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
So this one's gonna cheat on me. Mm-hmm. And what's less than? Now let me give you tip number one.
Okay.
I don't give out tips that often, but I'm going to give you this one.
Start giving tips right here.
I'll give you this
tip.
Okay,
yes.
All right. This will be Tamika's tip.
Thank you.
Okay, you can have it. Tamika's tip. When you're involved with a man and he has multiple women, you know, there's a common assumption by women that the other woman is better than them.
Mm-hmm.
So what does this cause? This causes a level of competition that really is non-existent.
Right.
It's not that the other woman is better than you. She offers something different to the man than you do.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't mean that you're any less than that woman.
That's true. But see, I'm not a woman that's going to be in a relationship with a man that has multiple women because I want to be number one.
Yeah, and you know, this is a fine concept.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, there's plenty of men that will say that this is a Caucasian concept.
Mm.
It's a monogamous concept. I think that to be in a one-on-one monogamous relationship, exclusivity is a phenomenal experience. Mm-hmm. But there are women that want to be in a relationship with one man, and mm-hmm. we all can offer and deliver love very, very differently. And polyamory is prevalent in the Black community, mm-hmm. but the situations where people are in relationships with multiple women, and maybe the odd man, and maybe the odd transsexual yeah. woman, they also exist. And what I'm saying is, if you're going to be in that situation, it would behoove you to actually allow your partner to know that, so that they right. can make an informed decision about whether or not they want to stay with you. And there's a fear mm-hmm. for the men that are not doing that they don't want to lose each individual woman. Hmm. And that's selfish. So, you know, going back to Tamika's tip, what a person who is in a relationship where there's multiple people involved, what you have to take from that is, what are you getting from it? Mm-hmm. And this is what a lot of women, they settle for very little, you know. And let's be plainly honest. Do you want it plain?
I want it plain vanilla.
Okay, no chocolate.
No,
and chocolate syrup.
Nothing.
Okay.
I don't want anything.
Definitely
hiding.
Not kinky at this point. Okay. So, once the sexual part has been reached with the man, what really do you have to offer him if he's
kind of has other women?
Yeah, if he has other women, I mean, you can cook for him, you can hang out with him. But if you're not engaging his interest, right. you know, the easiest thing for a man to get on with is having sex with you and then getting up and leaving. Mm. And you'll notice this when they are having sex with you. They have the sex and then they disengage.
Right.
That part there.
Some of them just actually stay in because they like it. Yeah. Like, they just stay there.
Stay there. That's somebody who actually likes you yeah. and cares about you. But the one who disengages is like, well, thank you very much. Peace and hair grease. Mm. They're out. They've gone about their business. And that's where you kind of realize that, you know, this is what the person came for. And when you're thinking about what you're getting from that relationship, if you need your emotions to be nurtured, if you need to feel more that like you belong in right. in the relationship,
that you're loved.
Yeah. And that you're loved and that you're appreciated and that you're valued, that situation is eventually going to lose its edge. It's okay. going to become less and less interesting to you and more frustrating, because you're going to feel like, wow, I'm a pretty cheap prostitute.
Very cheap.
Because
he's not
doing anything for me, you know, it's just purely sex.
Right.
And after a while you get into a conversation with yourself, you know, not that you have any kind of mental health
right,
issue,
right.
but it's a conversation with yourself, which is, what am I worth? Why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. And why is he still coming? And let's be very clear. Men will come back if the sex is good.
Mm. Okay.
They don't go back to bad sex. it's just not something that they do. So, they just don't. Like, I mean, like, come on.
Right.
Which guy says to himself, oh, you know, my dick's talking to me. I really want to go and have sex. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went with her, but it wasn't that good. Or her teeth skimmed my... They go to somebody who they enjoy having sex with. Once they get their release and they have no connection with that woman other than a sexual connection, they leave.
But what about those who have the intellectual connection and in addition to the sexual connection? I mean, that's a form of intimacy, and I've seen it in Black couples. And
yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, it's just a little bit hard for me to understand the lack of intimacy within the Black community. I mean, do you think it can be fixed? I mean, and if so, what are the tools that could be that can fix them?
You know, I'm gonna be an optimist. I believe that anything can be fixed. I believe that if it can't be fixed, it was meant to be this way. Mm. And I don't think that we have given Black relationships a strong kind of foundation. If you want to go for the historical perspective, you look at Black men having to witness their loved ones being raped mm-hmm. and being violated.
And we're talking about back in the slave days.
Yeah, we're talking about slavery days. Right. And then you look at the distrust, the general mistrust that we have. And then you add what's going on in society in general. You know, we are not just talking about plain missionary position at this point. We are getting influences from the BDSM community, the kink community. There are multiple ways to have we kind of use these terms interchangeable sexual relations with somebody and intimate relationships.
But are black people into S&M and BDSM and all of those kinky stuff?
Hell yeah. Does that answer your question?
That answers my question. Yes,
there are people in that community who may not discuss that with their general
friends,
you know, and I think
it's like a hidden secret.
A lot of things are hidden secrets when it comes to sex. You know, we have had black homosexuals for a while. Mm-hmm. We have had people who women who have more than one male partner. Mm-hmm. We've had bisexual women. I think the black community in general holds on to the monogamous heterosexual relationship, and that's supposed to be a standard. Mm-hmm. And this is a standard that is not being met.
Okay.
So if you want to call it a standard,
okay,
you know, it's very value ridden.
Yeah.
And you know, who says that that's the correct parameter that this person can get off at? If mm-hmm. you feel comfortable with a number of things being placed in a number of orifices, or you being held down or whatever, and you're comfortable with certain engaging in certain practices and that makes you feel comfortable, mm-hmm. who am I to judge you?
Right. True.
But you know, you'll have the other argument which says that, oh, you're copying what white people do, and this is not what we do, and black people are lost because we copy. But actually,
it's something that they really want to do,
and they get derive some a pleasure from it.
Okay,
and that's an intimate relationship, and they're also doing it with somebody. You know, to be in the bondage community, the BDSM community, you really need to have the utmost trust.
Right,
I would say even more trust with a person who's tying you up mm-hmm. than the person who you share your body with.
Right, okay.
And sharing your body at this point can be quite risky behavior. You know, we're living in a time where people don't want to sit and discuss the fact that they have a long-standing disorder, mm-hmm. disease.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they're willing to sleep around and share that disease. Clearly, as that pastor said,
mm-hmm.
and that's
mm-hmm.
you know, that the pastor who had HIV but chose to sleep with multiple women.
That's insane.
And the question would be is, when you're in an intimate relationship, why would you not negotiate with somebody to use condoms?
That's like I said earlier, that's the most sexiest thing, that if a guy says, I have condoms, all right, let's
but
do it.
How about... Why is it not sexy for a woman to have a condom in her bag?
But I think that's... Well, you know, living in New York City... I used to live in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Live in Manhattan
Brooklyn!
As well. Brooklyn! And, you know, and of course, you know, the long-running series Sex in the City, Samantha, mm-hmm. that the sexually active woman,
okay.
made it okay for... At least when I watched it, I was like, oh, it's okay for me to carry condoms in my purse and not be looked at, you know, like I'm a whore or anything. It's just to say, hey, you're not getting, if you don't have a condom, I have one. And that's the only way we're going to make this happen. You know, so.
That's very assertive, but there's still
there's still a stigma, like people
I think there's a lot of pride placed on being submissive and mm-hmm. being modest, but submission comes in multiple ways. I think that being submissive gets really bad airplay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people assume that when a woman is submissive that she's a walkover, and I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't know much about the BDSM and that community. However, I did read all three books of what is that book that's coming out? Not the 50 book, 50 Shades of Grey. Yes, I was addicted. I was like, oh, they do that. And, you know, people are like, oh, well, it was such a simple read. And it was just, you know, the language. I was like, I just wanted to know when Mr. Gray was, have you read the book?
You know, I have the book here. It was kind of challenging. Mm-hmm. I used to read Zane. I think Zane
is... I heard
is,
about that.
Zane is underplayed. She just had a movie out called Addicted.
I heard, yes.
A fabulous book, a fabulous film, and they chose some of the most handsomest men
yes,
in
Boris
the industry.
Yes, Boris Kodojo. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, he's fine as hell. And yes. I think it was... what's that model called? Chocolate as... chocolate can be. I forgot his name. Beckford.
Tyson. Oh, Tyson Beckford.
Yeah, and then okay. this handsome, handsome Hispanic gentleman. So okay. it was phenomenal. Very good movie.
I didn't see it.
Lots yet. Of twists and everything okay. like that. But
and that's a black film.
Yes.
And so 50 Shades of Grey, that's coming, the movie that's based off the book, they're coming out on Valentine's Day, and it's a white film. Right. So I'm, and they show the red room and everything. And I'm like, interest. So now I'm more interested into seeing Zane's Addicted.
Oh, Zane's Addicted. I'm actually getting it confused with another film that I saw, which was No Good Deed.
Okay.
Which,
No Good Deed. I've
which was,
heard
which
about
had
that
Idris
one.
Elba and, what's the beautiful lady?
Yes.
Oh, she's beautiful.
Yes. And she played in Benjamin Button.
Yes.
She was the grandmother.
Oh, you know who I'm talking
about.
We'll
figure it out. Yeah.
But, the BDSM community actually kind of felt that that book was really not illustrating exactly what that lifestyle is about.
I wonder what they're going to say about 50 Shades once the movie comes out.
It'll be interesting to see who they've got as Mr. Christian.
Christian Grey. They have some guy that I did not imagine for the 3 weeks that I was reading all three books. I'm like, that's not Grey in my head.
I think it's very hard to characterize somebody. We all have, like, you know, our own concept of what is sexy. So going back to what you said about the condom, you know, that is, to me, that's like, you care about my health. You care about me. And we, you know, we as people would curse a person out when they catch an STD. Oh, you come with that dirty dick, or she's got this dirty this or whatever. And a lot of us don't take responsibility for how we engage in sexual relationships.
Right, right.
So if a man says to you, well, look, I'm going to be nutting in, I go up in there raw. That's you have to understand that this is a person
you better
who
run.
Is well driven and who sticks by their word. This is what they enjoy. They don't like condoms and they don't want to be bothered with it. Now if you don't even have that conversation, then what does that say about you?
Exactly.
This is where a lot of women fall short, where you're like, okay, you're having a sexual relationship with somebody who you know has sexual relationships with other people, but yet you don't value yourself enough to actually say to this man, like, I want you to wear a condom with me.
Right, right.
And then you get caught out with, oh, you know, I wear a condom, but you got to suck my dick raw. Really? Is that what I got to do? That's the whole concept where people don't understand that you can actually get an STD in the back of your throat and you're not taking care of yourself. These practices, or even just having knowing your body,
right?
As a woman, you have to know your body. You have to know what your vagina looks like, what it smells like,
right?
What kind of discharge you expect to have from that, what is abnormal to you, and how you expect your body to smell,
right? Right.
You know, during intimacy, after intimacy,
a couple days after,
exactly, yeah. 3-4 days after, and you know, when you're engaging with having unprotected sex, and you have in the back of your mind, well, I wonder if are you really enjoying that? Because that's where you're kind of you're disengaged,
right?
And we also have, and you know, once we step onto pornography, that's a whole different
we're not even going to get on that right now. So that's another show.
The tip, I guess, another Tamika tip.
It's another Tamika tip.
This is a Tamika tip. Let me kiss the mic. Tamika's tip number 2.
You're a mess.
Is that we all have a sexual signature.
Huh.
So you know...
What is a sexual signature?
A sexual
and
signature.
And how do you find out what it is?
Well, you know what you like, and you know how in the... You know what order you like it in.
Mm-hmm.
So each individual person has their own sexual signature, so they become very comfortable. So you might have a man that has a sexual signature of, I like this first, oral sex first, and then I want you to go on top, and then I'll go on top, and then I'll get you from behind. Mm-hmm. So that's something that...
Okay.
That
okay.
So that could be his sexual signature. You, as a woman, or some women don't even know what their sexual signature is.
Mm-hmm.
And each signature can be, you know, some can be kind of as rudimentary as marking an X,
mm-hmm.
and some can be as sophisticated as, you know, the most scripted of scripts when somebody handwrites. So everybody's sexual signature is different, varied, and some are more elaborate than others. So when you look at it in that regard, you can see that if a person who has a rudimentary sexual signature is engaging in intimacy with a person who has a sophisticated, elaborate sexual signature, the likelihood of that rudimentary signature becoming very attached to the sophisticated mm-hmm. signature is very high.
Hmm.
Now you kind of say, well, why does a person stick with a person? Well, if a man makes you feel a way that you've never felt before, and it's like, you know,
oh my gosh,
it becomes this kind of, and then that clouds your judgment.
I see.
That's what I'm trying to get to. So we wonder, why do women stick in relationships for so long,
mm-hmm.
When it doesn't benefit them? For some people, it might be pleasure that they've never experienced mm-hmm. before, mm-hmm. and that's, you know, in a life that's pretty mundane, where people don't like you and your job sucks and you're fed up, this can be like one route.
I see. That makes release. A lot of sense.
So, you know, different things, mm-hmm. but I've always said that, you know, you get good, bad, and gourmet. And everybody who knows me will tell you that I say that.
That's Kim Ramsey, you guys. She's here all night.
Sorry.
No, it's good. All right. So do you think the lack of intimacy causes men and women to act inappropriate, meaning being promiscuous?
I think, well, promiscuity is a hard term. I think promiscuity is a value-laden term. And I think that if a person has commitments, and they said that they wanted a commitment, then that's one thing. I went to a conference recently on infidelity by a very smart man called Marty Klein, and he discusses infidelity on a huge scale. And infidelity is quite damaging, because you don't know how to trust a person. And, you know, we've all been there. Oh my God, if you sleep with someone else, I'll never talk to you again, and I'll take the kids, and I'll divorce you. So he sleeps with someone else.
and the person doesn't leave.
So where do you start? You kind of say to yourself, oh, okay, so you slept with someone else. Mortgage needs to be paid, got a bill, PSE&G's got to pay, and I've got my car note, and I've got to buy food, and I've got to take the kids to school. So you can't change that. You feel slighted,
mm-hmm.
but you also have to look at the contract that you engaged in when you first got married, or you first engaged in a live-in relationship or a partnership. Now, we all say, we assume that it's going to be a monogamous relationship. We don't say.
Mm-hmm. But can the human, the actual human being, really be monogamous? Was it really meant for all of us to be with one sex partner for the rest of our life?
Hard question. I think it's variables. For some women, they're held back by, you know, their emotional, cultural, mm-hmm. religious.
I'm not
concepts.
Saying that they should have like a gangbang session every time, right? I'm just saying, you know, because some people are like, are still stuck in this mindset of, okay, you're going to be a virgin when you get married, and that man, you are going to be with him for the rest of your life. I tell my kids, I'm like, date as much as you want. You don't have to have sex with everybody, but test them all out, and then have a list of good qualities of each and bad qualities of each. And then the list that has the good qualities, nine times out of 10, you'll find a man that has at least 90% on the good of the good list. Right. But how are you going to figure that out if you only been with one person?
For some people, that is enough to be with one person. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, we're taught as women that sex is not an acceptable thing to talk about. Mm-hmm. Intimacy is not an acceptable thing to talk about, because intimacy means a lot to different people. You know, if a person shares with you that they were the victim of a domestic violence, or they were sexually abused, or their mother gave them away at birth, these are very intimate things to tell a person. Right. And intimacy means sharing and having a place where you feel safe and you can trust that person with the information that you're giving them. I think that the stereotypes that we have absorbed and accepted for ourselves are becoming part of a generational culture that I just want to see change. Yeah. I think that, you know, it's not right for a little girl to grow up and feel like, you know, you look at, there's lots of images of Beyonce and her daughter who's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yet in the same vein, Beyonce went from being a darker skinned lady to a lighter skinned lady.
Okay, I thought that was just me. Because I was like,
she's beautiful.
I'm like, she's really white in that one Haunted video. Like, why is she so white? Mm-hmm. Well, it's a Haunted video. But then I watched the other videos and I was like, she was a little darker when she came out.
She was a fair amount darker. Yeah. And then you look at her daughter and, you know, and you say to yourself, her daughter's hair is very curly. Mm-hmm.
That's her daddy.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's a beautiful little girl. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. But we even, you know, I think of the other artist, Lil' Kim. Has had, you know, a number of surgeries. And I'm not against surgery.
Yeah.
I just would like the surgery to actually just enhance the person.
Yeah. I think it makes her look like a plastic doll, to be honest.
Recently she's become extremely almost contrived.
Yeah.
I had great difficulty recognizing that it was Kim. Mm-hmm. But these images of who we are and what we do and the fact that, you know, being in a certain level as a woman, you know, I think the actual concept of being a woman and what is a black woman, you know, are we women that are going to put up with bullshit day in, day out? Are we the beating sticks of mm-hmm. America? Should we be alienated? Should we have our beauty continually tested by different standards? You know, one thing that I was really pleased to see is the, I guess, this resurgence in natural hair. Just been phenomenal. Yeah. Where, you know, some of the YouTube bloggers like DX, what's her name? DVFXO. There's another girl called Chinwe.
There's hundreds of them out there.
But those are the ones that really stick to my mind. I think Chinwe I like because she's a Nigerian lady who is a Rutgers journalist. She has got a phenomenal website, Health and Hair, I believe, where she discusses how to grow your hair. I think we've always attributed natural hair with being short and it shrinks and it's not like white people's hair. It doesn't blow in the wind, mm-hmm. you know. And you know, going back to being caring and self-loving, that's a very intimate act for yourself.
Right.
I think intimacy and pampering and taking care of yourself and loving yourself actually helps you to contribute to being intimate and loving with another person. Being able to, you know, I'm from a Jamaican and Trinidadian culture, mm-hmm. and we were taught to cook. I meet many women who don't know how to cook. Mm-hmm. That's very bizarre to me.
It's for me too. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know how to cook rice?
Well, rice is a basic. It's a staple, cooking yam or if you eat that. But they are aware of how to eat fried food, which is damaging to the body.
Right.
You know, so it's just like for us as women, we seem to have lost, you know, and I go back to this standard. Where is the standard of black women, especially if America's leading it and the black British are following, the Nigerians are following, mm-hmm. the Caribbean are following, you know, and this issue of the aesthetics. You know, if you can love me with this color skin, this color vajayjay, mm-hmm. and you know that everywhere gets bleached,
right?
And and also this concept of hair on the vajayjay,
right?
Because
right.
you know that it's either the bald kitty cat mm-hmm. has become the bald.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I'm waiting for you to say
it has become the generational standard.
Based on it?
Oh my goodness. Do you not know that?
I just keep it trim and short and make sure everything is all cleaned up. But I didn't realize it was the bald thing is in now.
Oh my God. Like, you know, the younger generation really don't get that this is something that has been, you know, people say, oh, you know, pornography is nasty, it's dirty, it's this. But where you think that bald kitty cat came from?
Ah, from porn. Okay.
So yeah, it's not, you know, I mean,
is that just for the young kids or is that like for,
I think it dissipates across, okay. certain they see certain practices, there's mm-hmm. increases in different things from oral sex, you know, and oral sex has now crossed over into the Caribbean, yeah,
Jamaican, oh, because in Jamaica they had, what song was that,
Mina Bow,
yeah, by well, Vegas. That's
completely changed.
Yep. So wow,
that's completely changed. The Jamaicans are talking about oral sex. Oh, yeah, wow. They are, that's talking about
crazy. I never thought I would see the day
and doing this, and you know, really? It's a very overtly sexual culture. But yes, okay. But they've taken it all the way to the extreme where they're actually bringing pornography into the dance hall, which is a little bit out there for the best of things. And this is where you go back to mm-hmm. what values are you instilling mm-hmm. in your generation, and what do you want to leave behind you?
Right.
So if I am a woman who wants to talk about sex, intimacy, and having a rare disorder, mm-hmm. what do I want to leave behind right. from me? I want people to understand the fact that when you engage in an intimate relationship with somebody, you're putting yourself out there.
Yes.
You are a woman who is deserving and worthy of a good, healthy, loving relationship, which does not involve violence unless you want it.
Mm-hmm.
And most women do not.
Right.
Okay. It does not involve being fiscally abused, which means someone fleecing you for money and damaging your credit score. It does not involve you working and giving your money over to somebody mm-hmm. and investing your time, your energy, your emotions. Intimacy involves a equally yoked
right.
one-on-one situation, or one-on-two, or one-on-three,
whatever floats their boat,
whatever yeah. floats you, whatever mm-hmm. makes you feel comfortable, where you feel like you belong and you feel valued and appreciated, and you don't feel less than the other woman because you know your worth,
right?
And your partner makes you understand that, you know what, you are worthy of so much more.
Right.
And we as women, we settle for a lot less. And guess what that does? The man says, well, yeah, if she's settling for that, then the next woman that he deals with settles
settle it.
Mm-hmm. with that. The standard has to go up.
Mm-hmm.
It is very low or minus right now.
Right.
And we are responsible and accountable to increase these standard bars, because this is influencing a new generation, and this new generation does not understand that, you know, it's not, you know, have something you can cook.
Right.
For God's sake, like, we eating is just basically human.
Right.
Have some standards when it comes to your personal hygiene.
Yes.
It's not acceptable for a man to ejaculate inside of you and for you not to get up and wash afterwards.
Right, 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 right.
These cause issues for you later.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, things that are basic, that when we were growing up, we would be like, oh yeah, you know, I wash this, I do that, you know, basic stuff, mm-hmm. vagina care.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't, what? You don't wash yourself? You don't,
yeah, that's crazy.
It's kind ridiculous. Of like very remote and kind of alien to me.
Okay, so that was very insightful. A lot of great topics that I really hope that you could come back and talk to me about, especially with Ball Kitty Cat, the washing of the vagina. I wash my vagina. But there are women who don't, and they don't have any idea about that. And I feel that it's mostly the younger generation, like you had tapped on. Mm-hmm. But the one takeaway that I really appreciate was your definition of intimacy, especially the example that you gave when the woman goes into the bathroom and she takes care of herself, and you know, that's her own form of her own intimacy. So I hope for all of you out there who are listening, take care of yourself, whether you're a man, woman, or child, take care of yourself and know what your intimacy is. So once again, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Better Said Than Written, the podcast supplement to Arts of Cultures. I'm your host, Tamika Cody. And thanks, Kim.
Thank you for having me.
Great. Thank you.